Merry Christmas! As we feel overwhelming gratitude to our Lord Jesus Christ, as we celebrate His birth, His death, and His resurrection, Heavenly Father, we celebrate Christ today and every day, and may we serve Your purpose in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you on this Christmas day, with Jesus in your heart and your mind. Have you noticed how these days have contrast in them? And we choose each day where we are going to look. And is it going to be to the godly or the ungodly things in life? We must decide in advance on the godly course and then follow it. It doesn't work so well if you decide to have a little bit of both directions. No. And God tells us in Revelation 3:16 that if you are neither hot nor cold, He will spew you out of His mouth. Today, it is Christmas, so choose to live godly. And then choose to live godly every day, for the rest of your life. It's not always easy to remember that when we are living in this physical world that has evil and deception in it. But don't overlook the abundance of God's goodness that is also present. Both good and evil are a reality of life, and we put our attention toward the good and the godly. And yet we are aware of the ungodly and of the evil so that we can avoid it. And now we have a Christmas time of celebration where we can draw close to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is a message of hope and helps us to be guided and protected in this life. And later, that we will be raised up in the last day to eternal life. It says that in John chapter 6. And we have the example of Lazarus being raised from the dead in John 11:43. We believe we will be raised, as we have read in the biblical examples. We also believe because the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to our heart and our mind. God is both fully in our emotions and fully in our intellect. And when we say yes to God and we ask Him to show us how very real He is, He will show us. He may reveal Himself in many ways. It might be in secular history even, and it might be in Hebrew history. He's revealed a lot to me in those two histories, and we see how amazing God really is. Now, there is an expression these days that we want to have an open mind. Yeah, an open mind is good until you find the truth, and then let your mind close upon the truth of God. Yet, truth, I know how there are times when we have challenges in life, when we search for and find the truth. And now, don't laugh at these examples, because there is truth in them. There's truth to think about Santa Claus, and there is truth to think about the Easter Bunny. But as we grow in knowledge and truth, we know that those two fairy tale lies are simply not true. But for many, there was a time in life when we believed those lies. But as the evidence mounts, we no longer believe the lies. So you can see the contrast between what is real and what there is something in life that is telling us. Yeah, like that guy who sneaks around into your house in the dark of night and brings in the bright and shiny playthings that a child wants. Versus Jesus Christ, who gives or allows something to happen in life that is needed to benefit our eternal life. What a difference, huh? Do we want the bright and shiny little things or the long-term, long-lasting benefits of eternal life? Well, I think we all know that it is better to have an eternal blessing and gratitude for that blessing, rather than a momentary blessing with a quick thank you. Yeah, you have to examine for yourself what has the greater value. It gets pretty obvious as we go through life. And that reminds me of a YouTube video. Oh, there's a guy, Mike something or other. He is on a street and offering passerbys their choice of a large, cool chocolate bar or a 10-ounce bar of silver. Their choice. They can have either one. And I know it's a video, but time after time it shows that the people want what they can eat, and they choose a bar of chocolate that sells for $5 instead of a 10-ounce bar of silver that would sell for $200 or $300. Yes, if we only had a chance to accept that 10-ounce bar of silver instead of the $5 candy bar, oh yes, we would. But when people don't know, they just don't know. And that's the way that so much of life, it's just the way it is. People don't know. And so, when they have a chance to accept eternity with Jesus, again, they don't know, because they choose the bright and shiny and tasty things of this world instead of eternal life in that heavenly place with Jesus. So I think we can all understand how those little shiny things can get our attention and lead people astray. But we also understand the satisfaction and joy of godly fulfillments. And so we pray. We pray for ourselves and for others to choose the godly path in life. And we pray for godly discernment for us and everyone else. Yes. As we go through life, we want that godly discernment. So that can be clearly grasped that there is a difference between the spirit of Jesus and the spirit of the world. Like today it is the Santa at Christmas, the spirit of the world. And have you noticed the similarity between the name Santa and Satan? Well, the words or letters in the word are kind of the same. Well, there's a lot of things that just kind of get jumbled together. Have you ever wondered about the feast days of Judaism and the secular holidays? Why are they so close together? For instance, there's Passover and Easter bunnies, or Yom Kippur and Halloween, or Hanukkah and Thanksgiving. See, they are close together. They're not the same, but I think it could be a little confusing for people in the world to just distinguish between holidays, between the secular days and the God-oriented festivals. Well, there's a lot that's gone on with history. What are we going to look at? Because history is either accurate and good to study, or it is simply a messy jumble of facts and events. So today we have a lot of those same things also. We have a certain unfairness that's going on. It is talked about in the media all over the place, how it is unfair to categorize a whole group of people based on, oh, maybe even one person's wrong thinking or actions. But it's going on today. There is that categorization of different groups of people. And we want to use our rational minds to examine what's going on. It's almost like our society is going backwards in time to when Americans made judgments based on outward appearances of people. Well, can we just pray for godly wisdom and for love and compassion to guide us in life? Oh, yes. It's so easy for us to let the past cloud our decisions that we make today. But which part of the past? You see, we always want to learn from the past and learn from life experiences. Yes, we do want to learn. After all, we have seen people, many people who did not pay attention to the examples in their life, in their personal history, or even in human history. And so they don't learn from the past. And if they did, they could avoid some pretty painful experiences. I don't like pain, not for me and not for other people. And that's a part of why I talk about the things I do. I talk about problems that are going on around us so that we can see them, recognize them, understand them, and avoid some difficulties that just might be coming our way. You know, we would all rather have the certain joy of life, many joys. We would rather be celebrating Christmas at home rather than fighting a war in a foreign land like Afghanistan or the Gulf or Vietnam. Yes, we would all rather enjoy a meadow full of grass on a warm spring day instead of dealing with who knows what. I mean, there's all sorts of problems in life. Do you know what alcohol does to people? Who would rather deal with throw up? Nobody. Who would rather deal with watching the life energy of a person fading away from drug use? Nobody would. But they're all realities of life. They're hard. Especially when we see something like that going on with family or friends. And that's what we can do when we examine truth and look at a situation, is we can learn enough to avoid the trouble that something will bring. In our American society, we have had much goodness and many morals and respect that were exemplified by American life. And I think of how we can restore that morality in America. And how do we do it? I think it's by honoring Christ's value and principles, what he has put forth in the Bible. And then we can grasp again at those typical American Christian values and restore the greatness of America. That's my opinion. And we have to do this in both our private life and in our public life and public officials, and tolerate only that which is godly, and not tolerate things which are not of God. If you look back in history, you see that there was a grasping for the goodness and an intolerance of evil. If you look back in several generations, you'll see that that was the case. There are people today who talk about the great generation or the generation before that one. And you know that there were some good quality character traits among them, and they would not have tolerated the corruption that is going on today in our world, in our society, in our life. And that was just, 50, 60, 70 years ago? Things have changed. I'm thinking about an old friend of mine who when he was young, he was a sheriff's deputy, and at that time in Los Angeles, there were the Watts race riots. And the cop next to him arrested a woman for screaming out the F word. The F word. And now we hear that all the time in public. But she screamed it out, and she was arrested for using profanity in public. It was illegal then, and it was enforced. At least sometimes it was. And today, we can hardly imagine that kind of enforcement. Well, things have changed in the last decades, and they are continuing to change. Today we're having an expectation that we will be provided for, that there are people, organizations, or government entities that will give us things. After all, aren't we entitled to a home for the homeless and free medical care? Aren't we entitled to that? Well, if that's the case, I guess we could also be entitled to the right to go broke. Yeah. On last week's broadcast, I talked about our nearly $30 trillion national debt and how that works out to everyone owing $85,000. Every baby, every working person, every retired person, if it was broken down, they would owe $85,000 each for our national debt. And by household, that is $225,000 per household. And that does not include the other state or municipal obligations No, it is only for our national debt that I was using that number for. We are in trouble. Yes, we are. And it started, the way I see it, is it started when we compromised our Christian ideals. And that spread into the area of financial mismanagement. It spread and it continued. Our lack of Christian principles happened in the 20s, the 1920s, the 1930s, and the 1940s. It happened with lying statistics, like with the Kinsey studies. It happened later with the Iran-Contra CIA affair, in which Oliver North arranged trades of military arms for lots of things. It seemed to involve plenty of drugs. There were rumors going on at the time. There was even testimony about it somewhat, that those certain agencies were bringing cocaine into the country, even so much that it would fill a body bag. There were rumors about poppy fields in Afghanistan and bringing drugs into this country. And today there are still drugs being brought into the country. Tons. This year, there were 10,000 pounds of fentanyl that were seized by the U.S. Border Protection Services. 10,000 pounds of fentanyl this year, seized. Who knows what got through? So we have had drug overdose deaths skyrocket. This year, 100,000 drug overdose deaths in the U.S. And many of those were fentanyl overdoses. And many of those were for people between the ages of 18 and 45, are prime ages for young people. Another part of that age category is that if our country were ever invaded, it would be people in that age category who would be the resistance. We are losing people who would resist in a primary way. Yeah, do you remember early in the COVID crisis? There were several politicians who said even one death was too many. Even one COVID death seems to be what they were referring to. And so they shut the American economy down so there would not be even one death. Well, by that standard, what are we going to do with the 100,000 drug overdose deaths this year? Yes. What are we going to do? When you think about Americans and what we have done in the way of compromise, we have compromised many of our principles. Well, we have even compromised on what God says not to do and made those things legal. Yeah, so if you look at the history of humans, what happens when we, in a society, accept or make legal what God says not to do? Well, we have consequences. And some people would call those consequences judgment. Well, you can figure that one out. There are different ways to look at it, different ways to call one thing one and another the other. But I think it's fair to say the results could be catastrophic. Oh, yes. And here we are in the middle of this joyous season why do I even talk about such unpleasantness? It's not pleasant to talk about these troubles, but there is an opportunity in front of us that we have to talk to the people who we know, who we love, and who we care about. That is a holiday time of year which we can talk about these things with people. Who knows what you're going to talk about? You might talk about Jesus and salvation. You might talk about the state of the nation. You might talk about the consequences of doing what God says not to do. We all have lots of choice, and we all talk about things that are controversial. We talk about things that are loving. I mean, all those things we talk about, and that's just what we do. We do that as we care about people. We care about the people who we love. And so we talk about Jesus. We talk about salvation. We talk about doing what God says to do and avoiding what he says not to do. There's a whole lot of choice that we have in what to talk about and how to talk about it. We want to use love and compassion and wisdom when we talk to people. Just keep that in mind for as we speak to people in the future. We do want to talk about the things that are important. We do want to talk about subjects that lead them to Christ. It's so interesting. I know that some people see that it is their job to talk about leading people to Christ. And yet there's other people who say, oh no, that's the job of the Holy Spirit to lead people to Christ. Well, it's more clear than that, but I just want to encourage you to do what you can to find out what is important in life and to do it. Because one day we all die. And before our dying death, we want to do what is important to us. And for so many people, it is important to tell others about Jesus Christ, to tell others that they can have a heaven or they can have hell. Where would you want to go? The absence of goodness or the joy of Jesus? Well, it's so sensible when you think about it like that. And somehow we have to seek out understanding and be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit as we engage with people, as we engage our intellect and our emotions, as we deal with a person or a situation. Well, someday it all becomes more clear to us, and we want that to happen before the end of our life. You see, at the end of our life, we all have that reality of facing eternity, either with emptiness or with Jesus. And we want to have that loving presence of Jesus with us throughout eternity, and certainly on the last day of our life. We want Jesus, and we want others to know the joy, the peace, and love of Jesus Christ. You know, as I think about the last days that we have of life, whatever they are, I've known people who've passed into the next life, and it seems like almost everyone thinks that we're going to have a little more time, a few more years, a couple of more days. It's not really going to be the end, but it turns out that it can be the end of life. It can be the last minutes, and there it just happens. The clock has run out. There's no more days and no more years. There is only the righteous judgment of God. And we all face that at some point. It's real. It's reality. And that's why we can be conscious of talking about Jesus to the people, especially those who we love. But all people, we want them to know about the kingdom of God. And I think it's so important that we read about the kingdom of God ourselves. Now, we all have a testimony, and we all have things that we can talk to other people about. It's a wonderful thing to share your testimony. It's a wonderful thing to talk about the Bible. But I think every one of us is better off when we can hear from God as directly as possible. And to hear from God directly, I think that means we read the Bible instead of listening to a man who tells you what God says. And we know there's lots of people who will tell you what God says. They're all over the place. They are in church, on the radio, and there are people who specialize in that role. And it's okay to listen to those people, but I think we still want to seek out the best truth and the best source of truth that there is, and that is God and the Bible. And so I want to encourage everyone to look into their Bible and to read it. I certainly do. I think that's good for each and every one of us as we seek God and we seek the opportunity to advance the kingdom of God using what we have right now, our life, strength, our wisdom, and our money. And yes, do remember money as you spread it around. So often, it just is natural to think about how we can use money to fulfill our own desires, our own gratifications. But I hope you also think about other people, think about the kingdom of God, think about the missionaries that go into the world to tell others about God, think about your local church. Think about the very many good local Christian causes that there are. And every one of those needs help financially. So think about what you can do to make a donation. And remember that everything helps. $10 helps. $100 helps. $10,000 helps. I mean, there's no limit to how generous you can be if you can be. And when you think of all the money that goes through your life, through your hands in life, a lot of money goes through our hands. And so $10 or $100 or $1,000 has a different relative value when you think about how much money goes through our hands. So think about sharing that with people. Think about what you can do to help ministries, to help the kingdom of God. I do think of that passage from Luke 12:48, which says, well, briefly it says, to everyone who was given much, from them much shall be required. It's a biblical principle, and I think it's worthwhile to pray about all those things. It's a good time to think about all those things now when we consider the people who we love around us and how we can share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you think about the people you're going to be seeing these days, You can think about what to say to them. You can even practice what you're going to say in a little speech, let's call it. And that reminds me of my experience with Mark 16:15. In the King James Version, it says, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I remember that. I spent a few years wondering what that was supposed to mean. To every creature? Come on, what's that mean? I said to myself. Well, I got comfortable with the idea that if I would see a little animal or a squirrel or something, I could speak the gospel to that creature, to that small animal. And what it did was it gave me practice at speaking the gospel to people. So that's how I got to think about that passage of Mark 16:15. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Well, yes, there's a way that other Bible versions tell it, to every person, to every nation. It's just a little bit different, but think about it and then do something about it. You see, we can share the gospel in all sorts of ways. And certainly we have life experiences that will help us to relate to other people and talk about what has happened or is happening in our life or in their life. But I think about life. Life, is it going to be long or is it going to be short? We all know the stories about people who had something happen and they just plain died. Just plain died. Hebrews 9:27 is about life, death, and then the judgment. That's pretty serious. So we can have experiences in life and love and hope and blessing of Jesus, all those things. But eventually, we come to the end and we get to really be faced with heaven or hell and how real they are. That's been demonstrated by people. They've had a little experience, a big experience regarding their nearness to heaven or hell. And they come back and talk to people about it. There are amazing testimonies. And many of them are so consistent that it lends truth to what they say. Well, I think it's pretty obvious that we want to search out the truth about the existence of God, and then what are we going to do about it? See, in a sense, it just doesn't matter how long we live. In a sense, it only matters our experience with God and do we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior or not. There's many experiences that people have had, many lives that have been long, many lives that have been only a few years. And many times in our life, we can understand that it is full of distractions. Things which occupy our attention and distract us. They distract us from our relation with God. They distract us from human relations. They distract us. But when we die, we know the truth, don't we? We know it will come shortly. I'm thinking of a story from the Book of Martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs. And that was written something about 1500 when the Protestants were being punished and killed for their belief. It really did happen. And a part of that was because they would not deny Jesus Christ. And one of the stories out of that book tells about what happened in the Middle Ages, where both parents were assigned to death due to their faith. They were going to die. The inquisitors came around and they said the parents were going to die because of their faith. And the inquisitors found a 15-year-old daughter in that home also, but she was too young to be put to death. At that time, they had, it was an older age than 15, that they would be punished for their faith. Well, that 15-year-old girl, she strongly refused to deny Jesus. And so the inquisitors also put her to death. Now, 15 is not a long life, but she will live eternally in heaven with Jesus Christ. So that's an example that it doesn't matter how long you live. The important thing is that we get to live eternally with Jesus Christ. That's the way it is. And here we have life in the United States when we are thinking about all the things that we have. Think about the riches that we have, the grandchildren that we have, the property we have, or all the years of life that we are going to live or have lived. See, life in the United States is about all the things that we have. Now, I understand that point of view, and we all want things. We all want those kind of riches, but we really know, if we stop to think about it, that our eternal life is much more important than how long we live. That's just a fact. How long we live is it's a relative question, isn't it? If you go back to prehistoric times, it is said that the caveman lived to be about age 35. And funny about that age 35 was the average lifespan of people before the year 1800. It was often age 35 was an average age. After 1800, the lifespans increased everywhere, all across the world. And again, this is generally speaking, but it is a discussion of lifespan. So with the gradual increase of lifespans, well, now it's gotten to be where we can expect to live to be 75 or 85 years old. And still people have a fear of dying. Oh, that's no surprise. It's a fear because it's an unknown. We have hopes in life and we have fears in life. And then there's that that song called The Little Town of Bethlehem. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. And that light is Jesus, who is the light of the world, who we glorify and give thanks to. See, we want to glorify God. We want to please God. And we get to figure out how to do that. In a way, that's something that's been going on for many years, thousands of years. You look back to the Jews, and they wanted to please God too. They wanted to please God with their works. But it's changed a little bit these days. Well, there is a parable in Matthew 12:13 that talks about Jesus healing on the Sabbath. And those Pharisees of the day said that Jesus was doing work and that was forbidden. And Jesus said to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep? and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not pull it out? And now, how much more value is a man than a sheep? Therefore, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? That's what Jesus said. And we get to examine how we apply that to our life. Well, look to Jesus for the example. He is a wonderful example for all of us. Oh, this world. Oh, the trouble in it. Oh, so much is going on. Oh boy, when I think about what we are going to face in the future, it does concern me. I think about how America has been corrupted. I think about how our money has been corrupted. I think about how our money used to be only gold and silver. And basically, that's true. That was right out of Article 1, Section 10 of our Constitution that required it. So these days, we are doing ungodly things with having the creation of fiat money, which means we print it and print it and print it, and there is no association with value in our money. So what's going to go on? We are going to have an unstable economy, and that includes inflation. We have all that national debt that somehow we're going to have to pay back or give up what we own. And that's a part of the plan for the elite. They say you're going to own nothing and be happy. So it all started when we started falling away from God's word, where he said the debtor will be a servant to the lender. And so we have all these things that are facing us right in front of us, where we have corruption, that is, things that are ungodly, as we are now talking about 10 or maybe 20% inflation in a year's time. That is going to destabilize our economy, and so it will start at 10 or 20%, and what will it go to? Isn't that a question? As our youth is also behaving ungodly, when we have pornea or pornography going on all over the place, even 10-year-olds are, they call it sexting, or they're looking at porn, or they're doing things which are really ungodly. We are having slavery in the world. We are having involuntary organ harvesting among prisoners. It's an open secret that that's going on in China. And what are we doing about it? What are we doing? Well, I think of that economic guy, Ray Dalio, and he's a major investor of his own money and a stock, a hedge fund manager. And he is telling us, oh, we don't want to have war with China. Well, if we ever did, you know what would happen to his investment portfolio. But we could have war coming. We could have a Great Depression coming. Oh, but he does say that. Ray Dalio is saying that we can expect a depression that is worse than the Great Depression of the 1930s. So what is going to happen? It's a good question. What's going to happen? Well, it happens when we have different principles from God's principles. And so we'll see what we see, but we do have to certainly be aware that the United States is doing things which are questioning godly principles. I mean, even in war, look at, we have 3 nuclear submarines in the South China Sea near Taiwan. And what's going on with China and Russia? Why, they're having joint military exercise. That was this summer. And in the last week or two, Russia's Putin and China's Xi have had a video summit between the two of them. All the while, we have Biden threatening war if Russia goes into Ukraine. And we have Biden threatening war if China goes into Taiwan. Okay, so how do you feel about sending your sons and your daughters off to fight a war in a faraway foreign land? Well, you can see that it just might be coming. And the destruction of things that we know and take for granted. Yes, and now we are in so much fear over this COVID thing. The media has bombarded us with fear, and people are afraid. And all the while, the Bible says, fear not, because fear makes us slaves. It enslaves us to doing what the authorities say. And that makes me think of the 1946 Nuremberg Nazi trials, where the senior Nazi leader, Hermann Göring, while he was on trial, he was asked, "How did you get the German people to do what you told them to do?" And he said, "It was easy. All you had to do was make them afraid, and they would do whatever you told them." And so look around today. Look around. Are people afraid? Are we afraid of what's going on? There's a lot of fear out there. Look at it. And just remember, how many times our Bible tells us to fear not? Dozens of times the Bible tells us, fear not. And that's what we had better pay attention. We better pay attention to the Word of God and lean on His truth, His glory, His strength, His righteousness. That is what we want to pay attention to. But times are changing, or they have changed. We see the churches have changed, society has changed, people have changed, but God's Word has not changed. God's Word remains the same. So I do want to remember that now at this time of the year, we think of what God has done for us in sending Jesus Christ to the earth. And Luke chapter 2 is a good description of what God has done through us. When Christ was born of Mary, and it's amazing how God brought it to be through the decrees of men. When Caesar Augustus made a decree that all should be registered for the census, and that took place, and so Joseph went up from Galilee to the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because that is where his lineage was. His family lineage of David, it came. And so he went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife. And there it happened that Mary's days of her pregnancy were completed, and she had her son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Yeah, because there was no room at the inn. So, the next thing that happened was there was glory in the highest as the shepherds were in the field, and they were told by an angel about the glory of God. And the angel told those shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy to all people. For born unto you this day in the city of David is a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And it will be a sign to you that you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man." And so it was that the angels had gone into heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go and see this thing in Bethlehem." And it came to pass that they found Joseph and Mary and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen this thing, they made it known to others, and they told of the child who had come to the earth. And all who heard it marveled. And Mary saw all those things, and she pondered them in her heart about how the shepherds came and were glorifying and praising God, and they told all of the things that they had seen. They told of the coming of the Christ child, and then it happened that there was the circumcision of Jesus on the eighth day to complete that law, and that they called his name Jesus, as had been told them before Jesus was conceived in the womb. So that was all biblical. It was all history told in advance. So then Jesus was presented in the temple, and there were the days of purification for Mary after the birth, and it happened that Simeon saw God's salvation, and there was the priestess Anna, and they both bared witness to the Christ child Redeemer. And there was fasting and prayers that went on, and the family then returned to Nazareth, and Jesus amazed the scholars in the temples. It was a wonderful, amazing thing. You can read all that in Luke chapter 2, and it is simply a wonderful, wonderful thing to read, and how Jesus advances in wisdom and favor. It's a glorious thing. You can read and understand the Bible in its plain and simple truth, or you can study it in detail and learn more and more about God and Jesus. So, you can listen to this broadcast again or any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. And that is all lowercase and no spaces. And if you would like my free preparedness pamphlet, send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California. And thank you for any donations. I pray for you who listen and for God's blessing upon you. And may you have a Christ-honoring Merry Christmas. Think of Jesus on these days and honor Jesus with your words and your deeds. Amen. Give me passion that pours out to every man.